Pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verses 1 through 9 of Joshua chapter 1. Then turning briefly to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Father, for your word, which is the sword of the Spirit, your word, which is a powerful weapon that helps us to walk victoriously every day of our lives. Help us more and more to become the skillful warriors you've called us to be as we move forward in obedience to you for the building of your kingdom and the destroying of the kingdom of darkness. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Roberts, and Rick is going to share a word of prayer as well.
Father, what a hope we have today that you will never leave us, that you'll never forsake us, that we can cast all of our cares on you. We pray for our listening family. Think of those who are incarcerated, Father, that they would cast their cares on you today, that those who are sick and those have financial issues, those have relationship problems, help them, Father. Give them strength to cast all their cares on you, to not to be anxious about anything, to rest in you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're honored and blessed to have today with us by phone Alex Senjimana and the group Pete and our gang. They're excited because they know what Alex does. He works with Operation Christmas Child. He's a spokesperson and a representative with the great outreach called Operation Christmas Child. Alex, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph, for having me on air. It's a joy to be able to be here and get a chance to share what God has done.
All right. Well, we appreciate you taking the time. And I want to ask if you'll just further introduce yourself and then get right into telling our listeners about what Operation Christmas Child is and what you do with this great outreach ministry.
Yes. My name is Alex Njiman, and I was born and raised in a small little country called Rwanda. And Rwanda is found in East Africa. And Rwanda is one of the countries that receive Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Gift. And the Shoebox Gift Operation Christmas Child is a project of Samaritan's Purse, where we take shoeboxes full of hygiene items, toys, and we send them to children in need all over the world. And the goal is to partner with the local church and share God's love in a tangible way through that shoebox gift. And as a little boy being raised in Rwanda, it was a time when Rwanda was going through a lot of tribal unrest. And being raised by my grandmother as a little boy, because my mother had passed away of HIV/AIDS when I was very little, and I never knew who my father was. So the people that I looked up to were my grandmother, my uncles. But because of the hatred that had been created between the tribes, and people of Rwanda were divided into tribes, and hatred was created between the Hutus and the Tutsis. And that hatred was so great, was so much, that to the point where in 1994, a genocide against the Tutsi tribe broke out. And from April 6th to July 4th, 1994, a million people were killed, and over 400,000 orphans were left in the country. As a little boy, I remember watching all this, and unfortunately, since my family and I were part of the Tutsi tribe, and we were among the first people that were hunted down in our village, and my grandmother and my uncle were both killed. And me and my brother would run from family to family, and we had all lost all hope. But during this time, God was doing so many miracles to protect us. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was angry. I was running, just running for my life. And I remember as we ran from people trying to take our lives, one of the most vivid moments that God used to save my life, that I love the humor in it, is that I would fall, and a bullet would miss my head because I had fell, I slipped and fell in a cow party. And looking back and realizing that God used the cow party to save my life, and I look back, He can use anything. Yeah,
right.
And it's just amazing that God uses small things like that, insignificant things. Mm-hmm. After this genocide, I'm put in this orphanage. I'm living with the 250 other kids. All of us had lost our loved ones, and we were reliving everything in the night through our nightmares. And but one day, joy came to us when we were told to line up in the yard, and they said, "Today is a special day. You're going to get a gift." And these were Operation Christmas Child Shoebox gifts that they had brought. And Samaritan's Purse, being an international organization in response to different disasters around the world and around the country here in the United States, at that time in 1994, in July, right after the genocide ended, they responded to the disaster that was happening in Rwanda. And they brought Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Gifts a year later to our orphanage. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, it was such an exciting day when I got to open that shoebox gift, and I'm screaming of excitement. Mm-hmm. This time I was not being chased. I was not being scared. But this time I was receiving a gift for the very first time.
Well, Alex, that's such a powerful story, a powerful testimony of the journey the Lord brought you on to all the way to the point where you could receive the Operation Christmas Child gift. And was that the point at which you heard the gospel as well?
During this time, when I got to when I received that Operation Christmas Child Shoebox gift, a seed of hope and love of Jesus Christ was planted. And at that time, I didn't quite understand. I was 7 years old when I got to receive this shoebox gift. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I saw the items that were in there, the school supplies, the hygiene items. Inside, one of my favorite items was a hair comb that I kept for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. And the orphanage director used that opportunity to share with us about Jesus Christ. But seeds were planted. It was a year later, at a time when I was struggling. Mm-hmm. I left Rwanda, and I was in Uganda, and had joined a choir, and I was starting to be discipled. And I remember in my anger and my bitterness, and I was asking, does God love me? Does God have a plan for me? Why would, if God loved all of us in this world, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, why would he watch while a million of his children being killed in Rwanda? And why would he take away my grandmother and my uncle? And I was blaming him. And the more I blamed him, was the more I missed out on the miracles that he actually did to protect me. And one of those one of those miracles being receiving that shoebox gift when I had left, lost all hope, running, and that bullet missing my head. You know, miracles after miracles. And I remember seeing those miracles for the first time, and that's when I gave my heart to the Lord. And it's just, my life was changed. Has never been the same.
That's great. That's a great, great, powerful testimony. So how did you get to the U.S.?
Once I received the shoebox gift and I was in Uganda, seeds were planted. God sent me people to water that seed and to disciple me. I came to the United States with this choir, and I traveled the United States with the choir for 2.5 years. And it was through that time of being discipled that I actually got to even heal from the trauma that I had faced through the genocide, because I was challenged to even love the people that even caused me pain. And then I finished the tour and then went back to Rwanda. Then in 2003, I got adopted into a family in the United States. And it was in high school and college. Well, I lived in Minnesota. I lived in Minnesota for 10 years. That's where I went to high school. That's where my family lived. And we got to pack shoeboxes in high school. And I got to learn about how the Greatest Journey, a discipleship program, that many kids get a chance to go through once they receive the shoeboxes. And so I got continued to get involved, and it was beautiful. And came there. And now I live in Boone, North Carolina, and I get a chance to share, to just encourage people who have a heart to pray for the children to pack these boxes, because each and every shoebox really changes a life.
That's good. That's good. And so now you get a chance to help pack shoeboxes for other children so that they can receive them in other parts of the world as well, right?
That's correct. Because whenever I pack an Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift, I'm always remember that day when I got my shoebox gift, because that seed of hope and love of Jesus Christ was planted. And whenever I share that, I encourage people to really pray through Operation Christmas Child. Once the kids receive the boxes, through the local church in more than 160 countries that we go into, the pastor does an evangelism. So evangelism happens through the shoeboxes. Then that pastor follows up with the kids with the Greatest Journey, the discipleship program. And kids' discipleship happens through the 12 lessons, when kids learn how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then multiplication of God's kingdom happens. A response to the Great Commission happens, because those kids are challenged to go and tell their parents, to share with their friends. And before you know it, communities, villages are being changed, because a person here in the United States and 10 other countries that pack shoeboxes are willing to be a part of something very simple. And that simple item of packing a shoebox gift, God is taking it and is doing the rest of the work and changing children's lives and changing villages because of the response of people here who have a great heart to respond to the Great Commission through their boxes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Alex, for being with us today and sharing about your journey in being both a recipient of an Operation Christmas Child shoebox, but also you're involved in the outreach to help share it with others. Next week is National Collection Week, and we're encouraging every single listener to get involved if you haven't gotten involved already with the great outreach of Operation Christmas Child. Alex, thanks for being with us, okay?
Thank you so much, Pastor Joseph.
All right. We'll be right back.
The underdog in the fight of my life. Is it so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach. Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. Yeah, it's out of my league. It's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. It's way beyond anything that I got the strength to do. In over my head keeps me counting on you. I'm leaving the sweet spot. Short shot, trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me to waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. Yeah, you keep on making me see it's way beyond me. It's way beyond me. Yeah, it's out of my league.
Music of Toby Mac with Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We appreciate the work in the ministry of Operation Christmas Child, and it was great to have Alex Sengimane on earlier. Again, Pete's still excited about that great testimony. And we're encouraging all of our listeners to be mindful that next week is National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child, November 15th through the 22nd. And again, for more information about getting involved with Operation Christmas Child or to find drop-off locations near you, go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC. Again, that's samaritanspurse.org/OCC. But again, next week, November 15th through the 22nd, is National Collection Week. Hope that you will get involved. For the balance of the broadcast, we're wanting to honor veterans and do something in honor of veterans and both veterans and Veterans Day. We're looking specifically at the topic of the soldier's psalm or the soldier's prayer. And, you know, we have and we continue to encourage believers to pray Psalm 91 every single day because it's a powerful psalm. It's a powerful tool for divine protection of your health and protection from physical harm in this world. It's wise for believers to pray it absolutely every single day of your life for yourself and over your loved ones. We're wise to share, to forward it often to others. I want to remind you once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. If you don't have a copy, we'll be glad to email you a copy. But our encouragement is that you're praying it absolutely every day because our world is full of spiritual warfare. Life is full of spiritual warfare, and you and I are wise to be spiritual warriors in the kingdom of God, living for the Lord, being soldiers that know how to build the kingdom of God and tear down the kingdom of darkness. So Psalm 91 is known as the soldier's psalm or the soldier's prayer as well. And today we're going to be looking specifically at some true stories of veterans, men and women in the armed forces who got Psalm 91 and put it to good use. So we're going to be sharing from a couple different books written by Peggy Joyce Ruth, a young lady who's a great author and servant of the Lord. And in her writing, she teaches extensively about Psalm 91. I would encourage you to get some of the one or more of the books she's written because they will bless you. There's great teaching in them to help you to grasp why it's so wise to use a tool like Psalm 91. But also, the powerful stories she's collected are just so, so insightful. So we begin in her book entitled Psalm 91, Real Life Stories of God's Shield of Protection. And this is one of the introductory stories she shares. When a Pennsylvania lieutenant was accidentally discovered by the enemy while attempting to carry out a very important overseas mission, he immediately placed himself in the hands of God. But all he could get out of his mouth was, "Lord, it's up to you now." Before he had a chance to defend himself, the enemy shot point blank, striking him in the chest and knocking him flat on his back. Thinking he was dead, his buddy grabbed the carbine out of his hands, paired it up with his own, and began blasting away with both guns. When his friend finished, not one enemy was left. Later, the lieutenant's sister in Pennsylvania got a letter relating this amazing story. The force of that bullet in the chest had only stunned her brother. Without thinking, he reached for the wound, but instead, he felt his Bible in his pocket. Pulling it out, he found an ugly hole in the cover of his Bible. The Bible he carried had shielded his heart. The bullet had ripped through Genesis, Exodus, and on, and had kept going through book after book, stopping in the middle of the 91st Psalm, pointing like a finger at verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. The lieutenant exclaimed, I did not know such a verse was in the Bible, but precious God, I thank you for it. He did not realize this protection psalm even existed until the Lord supernaturally revealed it to him. Perhaps your protection may not manifest itself as dramatically as it did in this army lieutenant, but your promise is just as reliable. Again, our encouragement to every single listener is get a copy of Psalm 91 and pray it daily over yourself and over your family, and forward it, share it with family, loved ones, friends, fellow church members, fellow workers, and everyone you know, because it's a wonderful tool and weapon for divine protection. Hope that you will do it. Again, that book is entitled Psalm 91, Real Life Stories of God's Shield of Protection by Peggy Joyce Ruth. Now, the other stories we're sharing, again, is by another one of her books by Peggy Joyce Ruth. This one is simply entitled God's Shield of Protection, Psalm 91. Picking up on page 120 in that book, this story is entitled Psalm 91, Don Beeson, Yeoman Second Class, U.S. Navy. When I read Psalm 91, God's Shield of Protection, it answered so many questions I had about divine protection during my life. I was saved when I was young and thought I would go to heaven when I died. But I was led to believe I would probably suffer through life like the rest of the world does, with sickness and accidents. I wondered why that had to be. Thank God I had a praying mother. Now I'm 79 years old, but feel 30. I've never had a broken bone or an operation. In fact, I've never been in a hospital in 60 years. I've been to a medical doctor in the last 50. I have never been to a medical doctor in the last 15 or 20 years, and I do not take any medicine or nutritional supplements. I give all the credit to God's word. I was raised in the sand hills of Nebraska, around horses and cattle, where accidents, injuries, and even death happened on a regular basis. While growing up, we rode and tried to break every kind of animal we could get a rope or saddle on. I had many around me being injured, but I never was. I wondered why. I thank God for a praying, believing mother. I enlisted in the Navy during World War II so I could see the world and have a girl in every port. I never got out of the United States, but I did get into the wine, women, and song. I saw other men come back to the base with injuries, sickness, or sexually transmitted diseases, but I never had it happen to me. I wondered why. I thank God for a praying, believing mother and a forgiving Heavenly Father. I boxed in high school and in the Navy and never even got a black eye or a bloody nose. After I got out of the Navy, I had a few back alley street fights, and two of them were bad enough. I could have been hurt. In one of those fights, two men were in a bar and one of them pulled a knife on me. I beat them so badly, one ended up in the hospital. The next serious fight was in the wee hours of the night after dance, where 10 or 15 rough cowboys stood in the street drinking beer and talking about their times in the service. When I told them about just getting out of the Navy, one of them called me a liar because I looked so young for my age. I knocked him down, and it looked like all the rest were going to beat me up. So I asked them if there were men enough to do it one at a time instead of all at once. They thought they could do it that way, but after I whipped three of them, no one else wanted to fight. I wondered why I never got hurt. It could have been because I was so big. It could not have been because I was so big and tough, because I was only 5 feet 10 and weighed 150 pounds. I thank God for my mother's prayers when I was not putting Christ first in my life. When I got into the insurance business, I was driving about 60,000 miles a year and getting home late at night. After an evening appointment, I would sometimes doze off, but something would wake me up every time before I would run off the road or cross the middle line. That has been 40 years, and I've never run off the road or had an accident. I thought it had to be more than luck, but at that time, I was not sure. About 20 years ago, I got into the Word and found out who I was in Christ and who Christ was in me, and that I'd been given dominion over all the works of the enemy. Satan has tried, but he has not been able to put anything on me and never will. When I read Psalm 91, God's Shield of Protection, it revealed the supernatural protection in more detail. I saw that we have, as Christians, a supernatural protection covenant. It does not matter whether we are young or old, whether we are in the service during wartime or facing the struggles and battles we go through in everyday life. We do not have to wait until we get to heaven to enjoy the supernatural, exceedingly abundant, more than you can ask or think, good life that God has for us right here on earth. It is such a desire of my heart to get this message out to other Christians that I'm buying these Psalm 91 God's Shield of Protection books by the case and distributing them to churches and people I meet on the street. This is a message that needs to be heard. What a difference it would make if fathers and mothers would just teach their children to believe and confess every day that they have lifelong protection through the Word. Jesus came to restore what was lost in the Garden of Eden, and according to the Word, it is available to us today if we really believe without doubting. What a blessing to be able to enter into the peace and rest without all the fear and worry that is in the world. It works for me, and it will work for you. Again, the story shared, this testimony by Don Beeson. Now sharing one same book, God's Shield of Protection, Psalm 91 by Peggy Joyce Ruth. This one is entitled Testimonies, James Stewart, Brigadier General, U.S. Air Force. It is not surprising that James Stewart felt a call to serve his country during World War II. He came from a very patriotic family with a military history. Both of his grandfathers served in the Civil War, and his father fought in the Spanish-American and First World War. Stewart, prior to World War II, learned to fly and received his private pilot's license in 1935. He enlisted in the Army on March 22, 1941. Though he desired to fly as a combat pilot, he was at first used mostly for publicity. At his own expense, he took additional private flight training so he could qualify for combat. He received his commission after the attack on Pearl Harbor. Early in the war, Jimmy Stewart served as a bombardier trainer. He was eventually qualified on B-17s and was attached as operations officer with the 445th Bomb Group, 703rd Squadron. Within a month, he was put in command of the squadron. From 1944 to 1945, he served as the Chief of Staff for the 2nd Combat Wing, 2nd Division, 8th Air Force. Throughout the war, he carried with him a copy of the 91st Psalm, a gift from his father. When Stewart enlisted in the Army Air Corps and prepared to go overseas, his father was overcome with emotion. Stewart's father choked up when he tried to bid him farewell. So he wrote him a note for his son to read en route. After being shipped out, Jimmy read what his father had been unable to say out loud. The note read, "My dear Jimmy boy, soon after you read this letter, you will be on your way to the worst sort of danger. Jim, I am banking on the enclosed copy of the 91st Psalm. The thing that takes the place of fear and worry is the promise of these words. I'm staking my faith in these words. I feel sure that God will lead you through this mad experience. I can say no more. I only continue to pray. Goodbye, my dear. God continue to bless and keep you. I love you more than I can tell. Dad." Mr. Jimmy Stewart held Psalm 91 dear to his heart, saying, "What a promise for an airman. I placed in his hands the squadron I would be leading, and as the psalmist promised, I felt myself borne up." His family's prayers for a safe return were answered. After 20 combat missions, Jimmy Stewart returned home, a decorated hero and unharmed. Again, a powerful, true testimony from the actor James Stewart when he served in the armed forces. We're sharing from the book entitled God's Shield of Protection, Psalm 91 by Peggy Joyce Ruth. And I would really encourage you to make it your goal to get a copy of one of these books by Peggy Joyce Ruth, because not only, certainly the stories are both entertaining and powerful and inspiring, but it's a wonderful book to help equip you to be a warrior in your life and in your world. And the fact is, as believers, we need to have a warrior mentality in the kingdom of God and in our walk of faith following the Lord Jesus Christ, because life, again, like it or not, is full of spiritual warfare, and we need to be well-equipped warriors ready for the battlefield every day. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we're looking today at the topic, the Soldier's Psalm, we'll be right back. Listening to Lincoln Brewster with Made New. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the Soldier's Psalm. And again, Psalm 91 is referred to as the Soldier's Psalm and sometimes the Soldier's Prayer. It's a great tool for anyone that goes into the armed forces. And as we're sharing this broadcast, in honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and in honor of our veterans that are out there, and in honor of Veterans Day, our encouragement is to absolutely every person listening, whether you've been in the armed forces or not, Psalm 91 is a powerful weapon of divine protection that every believer is wise to pray over yourself and over your loved ones every single day, as well as we're wise to share it and forward it to lots of family members and loved ones, fellow workers, because we live in such a dangerous world. So again, if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at jparker@afa.net to get a copy of the prayer based on Psalm 91. And we're encouraging you, please do. The book will bless you tremendously. A great writer and author and Bible teacher, Peggy Joyce Ruth, wrote the book, God's Shield of Protection, Psalm 91, that we're reading from. We're continuing to read testimonies from her book. This testimony is entitled, Harold Barkley, Sergeant U.S. Army, by Janie Boyd, who is his daughter. Sergeant George Harold Barkley served in World War II in General Patton's 320th Infantry of the U.S. Army Company E. Continuous fear eliminated any expectation of ever returning to his wife and baby daughter. The same fear kept his wife terrified when she would see a Western Union truck delivering letters of war casualties. Once a Western Union messenger came to her door by mistake, and she said she froze with terror. Sometimes as many as 6 weeks would go by without a letter, during which time the news reported that half of Barkley's company had been killed. the Battle of the Bulge saw his whole outfit cut off from the rest of the army. Finally, however, a letter came from Harold saying that God had given him Psalm 91, and he now had absolute certainty that he would come home without even an injury. So certain was he of his promise in Psalm 91 that when the medics said they needed volunteers to go to the front lines to bring back the injured, Harold volunteered and made repeated trips under extreme enemy fire, saving many lives. The citation for the Bronze Star he received said, "For bravery," but Harold insisted that it was not bravery, since he knew nothing would happen to him because of the covenant promise God had given to him in Psalm 91. When he came home without a scratch, it was obvious that angels had indeed borne him up in their hands, allowing no evil to befall him, according to the wisdom, of course, of Psalm 91. Again, a powerful testimony of the life of a soldier by the name of Harold Barkley. Next is the testimony of Jean Porter, Staff Sergeant, U.S. Army. Bernice McHouston met Jean Porter at Howard Payne University in Brownwood, Texas. They fell in love, but out of respect for their parents' wishes, they didn't marry until matters were more settled concerning the draft situation of the early days of World War II. College students stood on standby as the world went to war. Sure enough, Jean Porter was drafted, received his orders, and was shipped out. On his person, he carried a Gideon New Testament Bible and the Psalms with his girlfriend's picture tucked inside. He would read Psalm 91 and quote it over and over because he believed prayer changes things. He said it was his means of wanting to survive and live. He entered the war in September of 1944 in southern France in Marseille, where there was very heavy battle. He literally walked across Europe, fighting his way as he went, all the way through France, on into Germany. When the war ended, he had walked and fought all the way into Austria. It was said, "There are no atheists in a foxhole," and many made commitments to the Lord when they saw death face to face. Men, when they see war, either become bitter or better. And Jean Porter became more grounded in his faith. The federal government censored his letters to Bernice to remove any information of troop movement, but they did reveal heavy combat situations describing a war far worse than anyone could imagine. A shell burst close to him, stunned him, and knocked him into an embankment. He knew God had spared him. He was given the assignment to go behind enemy lines to get some telephone equipment. However, when he returned, his company had pulled back and he was surrounded by the enemy. He knew it was only God's grace that enabled him to escape and rejoin his company. His letters gave clear descriptions of how God had delivered him from trouble. Another strategic battle occurred when American troops in Mulhouse Railhead captured his major rail center from the Germans. However, after they gave it to the French to secure, the French lost it. The Americans were then given the assignment to take it back. Letters slowed down, and neither Bernice nor his mother received word from him for 6 weeks. Many prayers went up on his behalf. He escaped without injury. When he returned home, it was a hero's welcome. He married his college sweetheart, Bernice, and settled into 58 years of a happy marriage. Jean would watch World War II movies, but made very few comments on what he had seen. However, in one especially candid moment, he told his wife that even the most graphic movies, like Saving Private Ryan, did not adequately describe the horrors he had seen as a young soldier. He said, "Even the most realistic and explicit of Hollywood movies glamorize war, and there was no glamour to it, only horrors." She asked him how often he thought about the war, and he replied, "Not a day goes by that I don't think about it." Jean Porter was thoroughly convinced that God brought him home and that the pocket Bible with Psalm 91 surely did have promises that protect a man in the worst of conditions. He was the only man in his company who was not wounded or killed. Again, a powerful testimony from Jean Porter. The next testimony is simply entitled The Miracle of Seadrift, Texas. Not one of their soldiers died in the war. One of my most memorable experiences was when I recently had the privilege of speaking to some of the residents of Seadrift, Texas, and hearing them tell stories of God's magnificent protection over their soldiers during World War II. This is their story of the boys who went off to war and the families who stayed behind to pray for their safety. Joe Fred Coward, along with Hollis and Gerald McCowan, said that they experienced miraculous protection during World War II, and they knew why. There was a group of mothers and friends in their hometown of Seadrift, Texas, fervently praying for their safety. Coward and the McGowan brothers were among 52 soldiers whose photos were placed in a large picture frame at a church and prayed over daily until they returned. Everyone I interviewed was still excited to tell me all 52 young men came home. It was the Psalm 91 promise of protection that the prayer warriors prayed over those young men who were daily putting themselves in harm's way to protect their country. One of the intercessors said that God had them literally bombard heaven. And one by one, every Seadrift soldier returned safely from the battlefields of Europe, the South Pacific, and the Far East, in spite of the fact that hundreds of thousands of American lives were lost on those battle fronts. I spoke with Laura Weaver, who was one of the faithful intercessors. Even though she has enjoyed many years on this earth and her hearing was not what it used to be, she still remembers with joy the faith they experienced in knowing that God was going to answer their prayers as they stood on the 91st Psalm. She said, "We read the passage every time we met. It promises God gives his angels charge over us. God is awesome." Mary Wilson Neal was another of the intercessors who said that some of the 20 women attended those prayer meetings every day. You can imagine the impression it made on the people in Seadrift, Texas, when every one of the young men in their town came home from the war, all 52. Fannie Maud Granny McCowan was quite a prayer warrior, known as a five-star mother for having five sons in World War II at the same time. She could often be heard crying out through tears as she prayed out loud in the family smokehouse for the protection of her boys. Scattered throughout the world, those young men blessed practically every branch of the service. Glenn McCowan was in the Army and fought in the Pacific Theater. Danger faced him every day of the war, as he had the perilous job of going into caves throughout the islands looking for Japanese. Eugene McCowan served in the Navy in the South Pacific and was a constant target while operating landing crafts to lay down ground troops. Milton actively served in the Navy as well throughout the war. Another of Fannie McCowan's sons, Gerald, joined the Air Force and fought in Europe. He was sent overseas in the largest convoy to ever cross the Atlantic Ocean, and they were forced to travel in total blackout at night to be undetected by the enemy. The night before D-Day, he saw General Eisenhower talking to pilots and wishing them good luck. He pointed to Eisenhower and told his buddies, "Something big is going to be happening tomorrow. Wait and see." That something big was the Normandy invasion. Within 24 hours of seeing the general, he was flying over the English Channel, and he remembers, "I had never seen as many ships and planes in all my life. They literally covered the waters and the sky." Gerald also remembers vividly how a friend he met after arriving in Europe was fearful of what the next day would bring. Sure enough, his plane was hit, and the concussion from the explosion was so bad that it threw Gerald's plane up, and dirt actually came through the cracks in the floorboard. What a difference it might have made if that young man had had a praying church back home. Back home. During those perilous times, Gerald McCowan experienced the protective hand of God on numerous occasions. And for time reasons, we're going to end our reading there. But again, I've been reading testimonies from the book God's Shield of Protection, Psalm 91 by Peggy Joyce Ruth. Again, a powerful book, a great book that's a wonderful tool to help equip you and help you to better understand why we are so wise to take the weapon of Psalm 91 and pray it over ourselves and our loved ones every single day. Well, again, as usual, before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. Would you simply pray this prayer with me if you'd like to commit your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? He's ready and waiting on you to make that step. Would you pray this prayer with me now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person that you want me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit, help me to follow you my whole life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we invite you to please do contact us, email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some resources and materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening again today. We've been looking at the topic, the Soldier Psalm. Our goal was to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and honor our veterans and in honor of Veterans Day. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.